Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. Big Bills game. Great matchup to talk about again today. Sal Capaccio on the round table later. Tua first. Right?
Of course. Yeah. Tua first.
So we were all, I mean, anybody who watched the game probably, were just somewhere between miffed and outraged that he went back into that game. But there had to be a way for him to do that, right? Like,
Yep.
Everybody saw him get injured in the first place. There had to be a way for him to do that. And then, you know, the worst nightmare scenario for him and the Dolphins, the league, even, last night comes to fruition. Really, like, how did that end up happening? How did it end up being allowed that he was able to play? And I say that, at least I want to say once, without proof, right? I mean, my own proof that he had indeed suffered a brain injury in the game against the Bills, which the Dolphins continue to maintain is not what their determination was.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually.
Right. I mean, their first, going back to last Sunday, the first thing that the Dolphin, well, it's the Dolphins' Twitter account, I imagine this was announced in the press box, like we hear announcements when we're in the press box about players and their status if they leave the game. The tweet that they sent out, around halftime or whenever that was last Sunday, said he's questionable to return with a head injury. And then the story changed after the game to was his back and his ankle and like whatever. And yeah, we don't know, you know, all we have is, I don't know, a lifetime of being lied to by people in positions like the Dolphins or the Dolphins' doctors or the team itself, their coach, their management, and a lot of announcers. we just get whatever the league wants us to hear is what we hear. So, you know, there's, I think, reason to be skeptical about the sort of the bait and switch there on the injury, because if he indeed had suffered a concussion, I think it might have been harder to get him back into that game. But I don't know what the results are. I don't know the trustworthiness of the doctor involved, the independent neurologist. I mean, you know, all we're doing is watching a guy fall down and, you know, arriving at what seems like a pretty reasonable conclusion that he suffered a head injury. And then we're skeptical about that. And then, of course, last night happens, and it's just like the worst-case scenario for everyone involved. And, you know, watching that unfold, knowing what happened on Sunday was, I mean,
horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, from a perspective of having no real attachment to it, it was horrifying. And I think from there you can just go through the through a different range of emotions for different people, depending. And I would include, you know, from having no real emotional stake in it other than just being a human being and not wanting to see someone lying on TV like that on the ground. You know, working your way up from being pretty detached from it. I think you could be that way, but also be someone who suffered a head injury and be really scared about what had happened there and how that was handled to begin with last Sunday, and then watching it all unfold and just go from there. You know, people who know him, close to him, whatever. It's just it's the worst case scenario for everyone involved. But I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the Dolphins or the league in a scenario that, you know, they, I think, have helped to create.
Absolutely,
and even their you know, their boy wonder brilliant coach, to me, is sort of stepping in it. Just, you know, I don't think he has any malicious intent, but you know, the amount of relief and the minimizing of, well, he just has a concussion
last night. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, who talks like that in 2022? I guess football people do, and even like a new breed, new age, peace and love coach does.
I think so. I think that was sort of revealed, and that is what you and I both think the culture of this league to always have been. Today he was different, you know, maybe not surprisingly. Today he talked about it in the utmost seriousness, you know, with the utmost seriousness. A concussion, and just was very... Did you watch him today? I thought he did well, but was it too late?
No.
But
I did not see him today. No, I did not. And, you know, last night, benefit of the doubt from just an emotional wreckage standpoint, like, they all had been through something, so I don't know how hard I want to be on him for you know, maybe clumsily minimizing the injury. Because there is, I mean, the way that injury happened, the risk of spinal damage, neck injury. I mean, there's other stuff that could sound more serious than a concussion, and maybe right. Be more life-altering or career-altering. But I don't think anyone who's been through anything with concussions or near anyone who's been through anything with concussions appreciates having it minimized. Like, oh, he only has a concussion.
No, that's right. That's right. Poor choice of words. And... there probably are a lot of people in this sport who would think about it this way more than there used to be. But if there were no protocols like the old days, wouldn't everybody play through it? Like,
yes. That, yes.
John Harbaugh today, it stood out. I know you saw it.
Yeah.
That Harbaugh said how unbelievable it was. Never seen anything like it. Look, I've probably seen 100 things like it. Where has he been? I mean, he's been in football his whole life. He's six. We know his exact age now because we talked about him this week. He's exactly 60 years old. He's seen lots of players get seemingly concussed, wobble around, fall to the ground. I mean, we all kind of grew up watching football where guys did that. It's the story that it was not something that was taken seriously.
Yep.
And then they went back in the game and played the next game. No one would have ever thought about whether they would be eligible to play the next game. You know, he's probably seen it lots of times. But what he's saying is, or he's trying to say anyway, is it's different these days.
It's not supposed to be like that anymore.
Right, right. That's his point.
I really appreciated that from him. You know, we talked about him on, was it Wednesday? You know, like finding reasons to have an axe to grind with the coach of the team who's playing the Bills. And it wasn't hard. You know, we had a couple things from last year. Like, yeah, he annoys me. I want to take it all back. I mean, I'm always very impressed when anyone, this is what I wrote on Twitter when I saw it, like, when anyone who's that far into the machine is that honest about something like that, I'm impressed, because it's very easy to just go along. You know, it's not my team, it's not my, I don't know all the particulars, you know, I trust our medical people, like, I don't, you know, whatever. There's a way to do that without questioning what happened to the severity that Harbaugh did, and he's joining a list of very credible, and maybe he's at the top of it because he's currently a successful Super Bowl winning coach in the league, but you've got a lot of former players and maybe even current players that are just on Twitter, and I don't assume they've all suffered head injuries, but if they've been in the game for 2 years or 10 years, 15 years, they've seen stuff, they've been through stuff that would make them question Miami's decision-making going back to last Sunday. And that, you know, that makes it feel to me way more credible to be questioning what's happening. It's not like a bunch of media and like analytics people are just out here going, oh, you shouldn't do that. Like, I've got former linemen going, I don't know, that looked like a concussion to me. Like, just lots of people saying what the average person would say that would have knowledge and know what it's like. And I don't know where we'll end up. Like most things in the league, they'll probably just hope it goes away. But if that kid is seriously damaged by this, which to me is still like unknown, I mean, it could still be the case.
It's a permanent game-changing moment in the history of the sport, if that's the case.
And probably even without that, I think it still should be that.
It should be that, but it never is that in sports. I guess I shouldn't say it quite so bluntly. It just takes a lot longer. You know, we're all, not that this is something we ever necessarily think about, but we're all sort of bracing for the day when the worst possible outcome happens on a hit like this, you know? And the game gets more violent, bigger, faster, stronger, and so it's going to happen, and then, you know, maybe someday it will, and that will change things. That's how it goes. That's how things change when something forces it, something massive enough.
And it helps a lot if we all see it.
Yeah, and I don't know that we get here. McDaniel today, for his part, was talking about watching a movie on the plane with Tua. You know, that Tua came and sat with him, and then after a few minutes of chat about his situation, they watched MacGruber on the plane. Like, and McDaniel was subdued. I mean, he was not joking around. He was just saying, like, kind of giving you want to be able to, he wants you to think he's okay. You know, we mm-hmm. flew home together, and he's having an MRI right now and these things. But the point really is Sunday and how he was able to go back in the game against the Bills. Because things like last night, apart from that, you know, the precursor to that, the hits like last night happen in the NFL.
He could have been hurt if nothing happened to him on Sunday. That all could have been the same, and probably even maybe would be.
And we could have a conversation about the violence of the sport, but never one about whether the Dolphins were at fault. Right. If it's just last night alone, the problem is it isn't. It's Sunday, and how what looked obvious and started off as a head injury turned into something else. Have you read the protocol stuff to sort of see how that can happen? I read a little bit.
I have not today. I saw and heard a chunk of it. They showed some of the text of that on the pregame show last night on Amazon. Michael Smith did an outstanding job reporting on it, and he read a bunch of it that wasn't on the screen, and then a bunch of it was. So that's the amount of familiarity I have with the specific wording of
well, there's that. A section, so this would go back to Sunday, and there's a section in the protocols, evidence, I'm not reading this, I'm just telling you, evidence of, like, so why would we keep a player off the field? What do we need to see to keep a player from going back into a game? And you have loss of consciousness. Number one is loss of consciousness. Okay. Number three, confusion. Number four, amnesia. Certain traits that the player would show where the medical staff or official should say, okay, no, this disqualifies you from being able to go back in.
This
number two
doesn't know where he is. Right.
Yeah. Right. Number two is appears to be a loophole kind of thing where this is maybe Tua's path back into the game against the Bills. It's called gross motor instability. And I will read this short paragraph. Gross motor instability, GMI, identified in the judgment of the club medical staff in consultation with the sideline UNC. Is that going to be like the unaffiliated doctor, maybe?
Yes, that's what that is.
Okay, gross motor instability, identified in the judgment of the club medical staff in consultation with the sideline UNC, who observe the player's behavior, have access to the player's relevant history, and are able to rule out an orthopedic cause for any observed instability. I think, and I need to give the Dolphins and the people involved here some benefit of the doubt, some sort of, I need to sort of put the little
parentheses in here because they might have been right to. I have to say that. But if they can, if a even hypothetically, if the medical people, it seems, can attribute your instability to something orthopedic, then you can play. And maybe that's how we ended up back injury. In fact, McDaniel said lower back. So I don't know. An ankle. That's what he was worried about in terms of Tua for the game last night, he says. And so I like this coach, and but I don't know him. I don't want to try to sort of read his mind or sort of whatever. You know, we don't know this guy.
Right.
But I believe he is, he seems sincere when he's talking about his care for Tua, like his interest in him as a person and all those kinds of things. Like, I can believe that, but along the lines of what you said already, come on. I also know the stakes in this league. And you're talking about a team here, and you can decide whether this is fair or relevant. We're talking about a team here that won their first two games, and he's a new coach, and like the team has been pretty bad for a long time, been sued for other conduct, and like they're off to a good start. And this is the game that they have circled, the Bills game, right? This is we know that. This is the game that they had circled. And he goes down, and then he sort of in a sort of casual, maybe unfortunate way, sort of gives off like, I can do it. I can play. Yeah. I'm all right. And the Dolphins and he ends up going back in for this game. And once that happens, I guess they could have ruled him out last night with his ankle injury, but they're kind of just pot committed at that point that he was not
right.
He was not injured, you know, brain injury, etc. So he plays the rest of the Bills game, and then like there's kind of no looking back, I think. And then they're just hoping that, especially hoping that what happened last night doesn't happen, and then it does.
Well, I think it is right to point out that we don't know. We know what we saw, and it's, you know, it feels pretty damning, you know, really damning, from our own experience just watching this sort of thing happen. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't have had problems walking because of his back, and all of it. But it's just when the stakes are as large as they are, I think it's very high. I mean, you've heard all week it was kind of like a joke, right? Like back injury, finger quotes, all week long with Tua. A guy even said it. And, you know, it's no joke now. There's nothing funny about what happened yesterday. And so, like, it feels, I feel a little dirty even having joked about it myself, honestly. But regardless of that, The skepticism is well-founded, and it does nothing but gain credibility. It's because it's not just doctors, right? Like I said, it's players, it's coaches, it's former players, you know, who have free reign to speak. You know, the halftime show was very muted. I mean, they were emotional about what it was like to be there, and I can appreciate that. As former players, knowing what the families are going through and all that, like Fitz seemed near tears at halftime, and so did Richard Sherman. So I'm not down on them being emotional about it, but they didn't even – I mean, how long did they talk about it? 6 minutes, 7 minutes, however long that was. They never even referenced last Sunday.
Right.
That was at halftime. Pre-game, I thought they did a very credible job. And, you know, seeing how it changed the tenor of their reporting, Michael Smith wasn't even involved in halftime. I guess he was on it at postgame again. I didn't see it. But the way it changed from pregame to halftime, I mean, you'd have to be, I think, pretty naive to not suspect that the league or someone said, like, hey, calm your guys down. Here, I don't need Andrew Whitworth sitting on the panel of our new partnership saying the only time I've ever reacted like that physically it was from a head injury. But we don't need that right now. And so, you know, I thought they were, you know, kind of negligent even on the halftime show, but I understand it. I mean, they're new, and I think they probably got bullied.
Oh, my gosh. Well, whether they did or not, every announcer knows to not talk about that subject. Like, that is the number one subject that you do not discuss on an NFL broadcast is concussions. You don't say the word.
But they went in hard on the pregame show, at least to me, by NFL broadcast partner standards. Michael Smith read from the document you just read from and called into question whether these protocols had been followed. And, I mean, it was...
Well, we'll see what happens to him.
Right.
Like, you have to be pretty brave.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, you're not supposed to do it. And so what they end up doing is finding ways, like you heard Fitz do. I don't mean this disparagingly. It's just, you know, not the same level of courage as the other guy, where you just talk about how it feels to watch and, you know, the risks that players run, all those things that get said every time. But you don't get into concussions by name. You don't get into procedures, right? I mean, we had the guy, remember the guy last year on the Chargers, Parham, who got hit in the back of the end zone, the tight end, and Joe Buck had that game and was just talking about just like he was scrambling to try to figure out how to talk about that with somebody in his ear. I don't know if you remember that last year, but like,
I don't.
This when that happens, it's like you it's hard to spit out. Here I am now. It's hard to spit out the words when you're in your mind is I can't say that, you know. And
right.
Maybe it gets easier with experience and those guys on that panel don't have much experience.
They're all pretty new at it. Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, like no, you work for us. Like we're not having this conversation on my platform, you know. And so that isn't surprising. That's what usually happens.
Yeah, that's why it stood out to me that pregame was the way it was, and it in a way, if they hadn't done what they did in pregame, it wouldn't have made halftime as egregious, as obvious that they were avoiding it. But it seemed pretty plain to me that they were.
Yep. Well, will anything change? 803-0550, the number. Cincinnati wins, Bulldog wins. -4, easy game. In fact, you got 3.5, so not as easy. But another win for Bulldog. I don't know. Was it going to be Cincinnati's game? Like, Tua's not Josh Allen or somebody, but didn't exactly help the Dolphins. Plus, they had to, you know, watch that.
No,
happen.
Yeah, no. He. You know, I mean, he obviously threw a pretty bad ball on the long one that got intercepted. But before he left the game, boy, he dropped a couple of balls in that I was pretty impressed by. It was one pretty long, like medium long one to Gesicki that just like right over the linebackers, right in front of the DB. I don't know. It could have been a very different game.
They did have the lead at the end of the third quarter, even with Bridgewater in there, 15-14. So Miami, 3-1, leaving only one team in the NFL undefeated. That's Philadelphia. And it's still September. There's only one undefeated team in the NFL. Still September. 803-0550 for your calls. Kevin Payne, RotoWire, Fantasy Today at 4. Sal here for the roundtable at 4:30. Duntire Roundtable. Trey Wingo making his usual Friday afternoon appearance at 5:30. And then we'll have picks at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.